Hare Krishna. It is nice to come to the manor. So many nice, I've heard so many wonderful things. This is my second visit. And it's amazing. In this verse, we can note how the reality of how Hiranyakashipu could be so ignorant of various realities. Ultimately, when one makes an offense against Vaishnava Dharma, there is a severe reaction. One nice story comes to mind about how Hiranyakashipu, he crossed the line of doing Vaishnava Parad. One time Narada Muni had come to his palace, and that's when he was sitting on the throne of Indra. And Narada was simply chanting the names of the Lord, And Hiranyakashipu goes, "Hey, stop chanting the holy names here." And so Narada Muni said, "What are you going to do about it?" And then Hiranyakashipu goes, "Hey, listen, weakling. I'm sitting on the throne of Indra. I've conquered all the demigods. You follow what I say." And Narada Muni goes, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" "I will kill you." And then, so Hiranyakashipu, in a very angry manner, he pulled out this harsha sharsha, special weapon, that if you throw it at someone, it'll go through the body, go to a river, clean itself, and come back to the hand of the warrior. So he threw the weapon at Narada Muni, and obviously it went right through Narada's body, because his body is fully spiritual. And Hiranyakashipu is going, "What's this? How is this?" He threw his weapon again, and it went through and back. But he's very intelligent demon. So then he asks, "Well, wait a minute, how did you get a body like that?" And Narada replied, "Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord." "Oh, Vishnu!" So Hiranyakashipu, you know, demons, they always like to get the best. But they don't want to surrender to the holy name, surrender to the Supreme. "Is there any way I can get a body like that? It's close, you know, I don't want to chant that name, but is there any way I can get a body, a special body?" Then Narada Muni, "Well, there's a second way you can get a body which is close to it, but not, you know, nothing as good as chanting the names of the Lord." So this way, okay, what do I do? And then Narada Muni described how he could perform tapasya, and that's where began the whole pastime of where he performed so much tapasya and became such a threat. In this way, we see that because of Hiranyakashipu's mentality, he wanted to enjoy Krishna's opulences, and as a result of this sense of enjoyment, there is no bahushak, the mind becomes many-branched. So in this way, as described later in the purport, it's described how the scientists think that the planetary systems are filled with dust. Just like if you fly into Gatwick Airport, and you, over, it's the northern part of London? Northern? South, okay. Anyways, we're new in the block. That very, very rich area, very beautifully manicured trees, farm areas, very, very beautifully put together. And one can see, wow, this is like a heavenly planet in one sense. But we have no understanding what a real heavenly planet's all about, or to speak of the spiritual abode, that all these wonderful things are a perverted reflection. But in the modern times, man becomes so attached towards their little patch of grass. Like yesterday, I'm staying in Wood Green presently, and there's a park. It's kind of a middle, poor area of London. Of course, it's cheaper, so sometimes devotees stay there, a little, you know. Anyways, I was sitting and chanting some rounds in the park. And then Krishna sent a kaleidoscope of amazing, humorous situations, which kind of really point out the realities of this world, how people are attached to the temporary. Like one, guy was, it was like practicing martial arts inside the, it was like, just like in an area where the kids play, all like this, punching the sky like this. And, you know, of course, it's all a matter of consciousness, not a matter of the science. And he's like, doing all kinds of shots like this and that. And then after a break, there were some kids came to play in the little, you know, so we kind of put them off, so he had to take a break. See, martial arts means you develop a sense of discipline. And he went to smoke a cigarette, you know, and I was thinking the duality. Because ultimately, if you're attached to the body, ahamameti, everything belongs to me, you become attached to mundane realities. Or another guy had, there's a big thing, I think, in the UK, where you have a big stick and it holds a ball. And you just by flipping it, you can throw the ball, you know, many, many, like, you know, like 100 yards. And he had two dogs that are running. It's funny, in India, even if you go to Mumbai, you see sometimes dogs on a leash, which are very well groomed. I've even seen it in Vrindavan. Because anyone knows what the dogs in India look like. I mean, impressive anyways. But here in the West, we polish. So anyways, he was throwing the ball, going all over the place. And these dogs are bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. So here's the man with his wife enjoying his dogs, you know, in terms of just in paltry experiences. So I was just thinking about how when people absorb themselves in these temporal realities, they become so absorbed in everything is mine. And they value so much just things which are extensions of the body. Now we may ask, why is that? Why is it that we lose a focus on the bigger picture at hand? And ultimately, as the Bhagavatam describes, there's ichta and dvesha. There's desire and hate. It's like a two-sided coin. You can only see one side of the coin, but as soon as we become absorbed in either desire or hate, then what happens is that we become befuddled. And then we become absorbed in thinking about this body we are trying to enjoy. Yantra, Rudani, Maya. We're seated on the machine made of material energy. We identify with the machine. So in this way, it becomes a very embarrassing affair. Now we can look at the conditioned souls and say, hey, the karmis, and they're so, completely under the influence of material energy. But when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should really see how it applies to us at this present time. I may be a devotee for 5 months, 5 years, 31 years, 40, like this. You may be have known the whole science of devotional service, but you can be caught up by these temporal realities which cover our intelligence. Okay, the scientists are covered over appreciating the beauty of the majesty of the heavenly planets that are around us, or these oceans with different types of elixirs, different types of liquids. What an amazing beauty, what an amazing majesty. Of course, it is nothing but a spark compared to what we find in Goloka Vrindavan. So the scientists who are attached to Hamameti, everything is in a closed box, they can't see the overall reality. So even as devotees, we may lose grasp on the overall picture, the overall realities that are around us, by becoming wooden-headed. What do I mean by wooden-headed? Mechanical. You're performing devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, wearing this type of sari, that type of sari. I'm a brahmachari. In the Chicago once, I often tell this is one Balaram brahmachari. Big beads. Well, mine are too big, but big beads. Eat 2 chapatis a day. 9 chickpeas only. And, I hate women. Oh. You know, like, aversion is outside. Yeah, if you get them close to me, kill them. Anyways, he was out in Harinam one day. Buddhin Ryan tells me this story. He's out in Harinam, and the brahmachari loved Harinam. We're going to Harinam at 12 o'clock today, like that. You know, so he loved Harinam, and he loved distributing sweets. Ah. Big tray of sweets. Do you make some prasadam for distribution on Harinam? Anyways, so he would always go to the side streets and distribute the sweets. And Buddy Moran was wondering, where is he going? You know, there's a bum or two way down there. And he followed him one time. And then he saw the tray was in a perpendicular angle. All the sweets going down, down, down like that. Ah, Balaram Brahmachari. So this way, we become attached to the externals of wearing saffron. We become attached to the externals of being a senior devotee. And because, you know, in the early days, almost everyone's a pure devotee. Jai Prabhu, Jai. your first come, you know. But after some time, we become a little mechanical. Now, why does this happen? Because this verse is speaking about persons who have bewildered intelligence. And as devotees, we can have also develop a sense of bewilderment when we become dependent on bad habits. As the saying goes, good habits are more difficult to break than bad habits. So what is it? What is it that's bringing us down? What is it keeping our anchor in the water, like on the wedding party? They're rowing and the anchor is down. What is keeping us locked into a sense of loss of taste in Krishna consciousness? Well, we can see the problem Bhagavatam describes is five principles which bring one down from the platform of bhakti. First, if we perform our devotional service or any activity, especially devotional service, with a mood of hypocrisy, of internally meditating on things and externally looking good, or and also doing the negative things, though I may look good, I may be dressed so nicely. Or pratishta, performing devotional service, chanting the holy names, wanting to get some profit, adoration, distinction, wanting money, wanting unnecessary interaction with the opposite sex, or in terms of attachment to bodily comforts. These five are described. Now what happens is when we perform devotional service with these five anarthas, then the nam, which is pure, you chant Sitaram, you chant Krishna. It doesn't matter if you chant Krishna, or Krishna, Ram, or Rama. It doesn't matter. Because the Nam is 100% pure. It is our approach to the Nam, which turns the Nam, if we chant the holy names, if we perform devotional service with a material desire for material amelioration, then it becomes Namabhas. Then there's so many concentric circles of offenses which follow after that. You see, in chanting Hare Krishna, there's no real offense in the nam aparad until it doesn't activate until we offend others around us. So this is interesting to note, because how is it that we fall into these bad habits? And every day we chant the 10 offenses to be avoided. There's a nice story that kind of talks about how, according to our association, we cannot really go deep into Krishna consciousness because of the bad habits, or kusanga, or bad association. There was one Maharaj who had a Bhagavat Saptaha, and the king wanted, he was told by the Bhagavat Acharya that in 7 days, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be liberated. So the king listened for 7 days, but he felt, after that, I still have these material desires. I still have these passions. So then he asked the Bhagavad Sapta Guru, so I've listened for 7 days, and I still have these desires? What is this? And the Acharya couldn't answer his question. If you don't answer my question, the king said, I will lock you up. And all your friends. Your wife, too. No. And so then he went back to his wife and he said, my dear, I'm in big trouble now. I can't answer this question. The king has listened for the Bhagavatam for 7 days and there's a problem. His desires are still there, material desires. So then she said, go talk to this particular sadhu and he may give you some information. So he went to the sadhu and the sadhu said, I have the answer to your question. So I will come to the king's court tomorrow and give you the answer. So in this way, the sadhu came to the court, and then he pointed out, okay, king, tie the king to the pillar over here with these ropes. The king was bound up. And then he went to the acharya. Now tie that acharya up. They were both tied between two pillars, like this. So then the sadhu said, my dear king, can you please untie the ropes of the sadhu? And the king goes, well, I can't even move my pinky. Can't do anything. And then he asks the sadhu, my dear sadhu, why don't you untie the ropes of the king? And he goes, I can't even budge my eyebrow. So in this way, the sadhu said, this is your answer. That, my dear king, you are filled with material desires due to becoming a rajarshi, a king, one who actually controls. And my dear Bhagavat Acharya, you have the same problem. You're completely controlled by your material desires. So this way, how can you unbind the king? Even though it's described the principle of speaking about the Bhagavatam, but if the purity is not there in the speaker, then one cannot imbibe the transcendental truths. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this principle of vibration, how the spiritual master creates a certain vibration. We see that how the different dependents of different gurus who have different flavors, shall I say, and these different disciples are attracted to different gurus. And we can see how that is a concomitant reality, how the disciple imbibes the vibration of guru. So in this way, this acharya was bound up. And in this way, he had lost an ability, they lost that purity to present the Krishna consciousness, present the Srimad Bhagavatam with a hoituki apratiyata, a mood which is unbroken, which is pure. So in this way, there's a problem. So then we can study, okay, the materialists are so covered over, the stupid scientists, you know. Can't understand. They think that this is the only life on this planet, and there's no such thing as life on other planets. What to speak of oceans of elixirs? What to speak of the opulence of the heavenly world? So in this way, we become a little bit bewildered. But what happens is, we fall into the influence of familiarity, and we become a little mechanical. In other words, we don't see the externals as an internal reality. One nice story about how Antarnishta Maharaj, he was a great devotee of the Lord, but he kept it within. And actually, he didn't really want to reveal the pastimes publicly because that was his internal bhav, to actually worship Radha and Krishna on a private level. And his wife, the queen, didn't even know he was a devotee. So one time when he was sleeping, he began to chant, Krishna, Krishna. And she woke. She goes, oh my goodness, my Lord, he's a devotee of Krishna. Then she had a big festival the next day in the palace. And the king was wondering, what's going on? Why the big festival? Why all the noise? And she said, you chanted the names of Krishna. He goes, oh, what? Oh. And then, because his whole bhav was to keep it within, he left his body on the spot. He didn't want anyone to know. So in this way, this is a situation we can't judge by externals. We become mechanical in terms of external realities. Another story I love telling is about how Sadhan Kosai was a butcher. Kosai means one who sells meat. He had a Shalagram Shila. And actually, it's a long story in his previous life how he worshipped the same Shalagram. But he was very truthful because he had his principle satyam. He'd never tell a lie. One time a cow was running by him being chased by a butcher. And the butcher said, where is the cow? And he said, oh, it's... He didn't say anything. He just kind of indicated with his eyes. So he got a reaction. He'd become a butcher in his next life. Anyways, he had an interesting shalagram. It weighed about a quarter of a kilo. But the shalagram was an amazing shalagram. Of course, all shalagrams are amazing. But this would expand according to the size of the meat. So if someone wanted 2 kilos of meat, 30 kilos of meat, the shalagram would expand. And he's thinking, oh, this is a very good weight. You see, he didn't understand this was Bhagavan. He said, oh, very nice weight. So then one sadhu comes to his shop and goes, this is an aparad. This is Bhagavan. You're going to hell. Give me that shalagram. Huh? Now you see, Sadhan Kosai, he was a great devotee because he would chant the verses of the Gita Govinda. And he would always chant as he's doing his service. Because in the Bhagavad Gita describes that ultimately you have the right to perform prescribed duty, but you can't be attached to the fruits or the results of your activities. So Bhagavad Gita reminds us you have to perform your duty. So he came in a line of butchers, so he was following his duty. But he was Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons, but he was the topmost Krishna conscious personality. So anyways, the sadhu says, give me that shalagram. And he heartfelt gave him the shalagram, but he was felt, so, oh, what have I done? I've made some offense. I didn't know. And then the pukka, you know, pujari was doing nice upacharas and nice bhog. Jai, shishi rakhanun ki jai, shishi. Sidharam lakshman hanuman ki jai, shishi gonitai ki jai. So he was offering so many nice upacharas to the Lord, and the shalagram came to him in a dream that night. My dear Brahman, I don't want your patrams or pushpams. I don't want this. I don't want the oil. I don't want all this abhishek. He gave a punch of gut. Everything he's giving. I simply want to go back to Sadan Kosai. And then the Brahman in the dream is going, what do you... This is hell. It's a butcher shop. My lord, it's a butcher shop. Why do you want to go there? And the Lord said, I am always where there's Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan ki. So Sadan Kosai, he is chanting my names. I am relishing his devotion. You're not doing the Nam Seva. So I have no interest to stay here. So chalo, take me back now. So in this way, the Brahmin brought him back and begged for forgiveness. So this is an example of we can't judge by externals. Now, I always tell this, you know, the famous story of Prabhupada where he said, was it in the Manor or Soho Street? And now you can actually correct me. Where he made the point that if you simply chant, you know, he was talking about the different levels of surrender. And if you surrender 95% to Krishna consciousness, you go back to Godhead. And the devotees are going, oh no. And then 85%, oh no. And then 75%, oh okay. We'll accept that. Because, you know, devotees. Was that in the Manor here where Prabhupada said that famous statement? Okay. Then Prabhupada... Somebody yes, said 75% and got off the Vyasasan, put his chadar over his shoulder. Jai Prabhupada, we have some hope. So in this way, we can't understand, we can't minimize the power of the process. Because even if you may be a mechanical devotee or having difficulty, every three steps forward, you're taking two steps back, and time, it'll change from... You know, three steps forward to only one step back, and then suddenly, yad yad atarati shreshta. You'll be teaching by example. You'll be inspiring others by examples. So we have a tendency to take things for granted. The people in the park took their whole lifestyle for granted. They were absorbed in ball consciousness, dog consciousness, martial arts consciousness. So okay, I can sit there on the park bench and say, oh, I have a higher teaching. I have higher wisdom, higher knowledge. But wait a minute. If I see that situation, then I should be observant. Well, where am I holding back? This is a nature in service of the Lord. The Lord also sees where we hold back. So we have to be very conscientious of the externals. Gadadhar, when he was searching for the guru, went before Pundarik Vidyaniti. And Mahaprabhu inspired them. He said to this is a Samahama Sudralabha. It's a very great soul. You should go see this person. But Pundarik Vidyaniti, when he saw him, was so eloquently dressed and so much, you know, silks and pillows and betel. He's like, well, this is a Vishayi, simply a sense enjoyer. Why is Mahaprabhu sent us here? And then Lord Chaitanya, within the heart of Mukunda, inspired him to chant some nice verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's pastimes. And when Pundarik Vidyaniti saw this, he just completely fell off his dais in complete absorption. Then Gadadhar thought, oh, I've made an aparad. The only way I can be free from this offense is if I take initiation from his person. So it's another example of how we see externals in the wrong way. And then our internals, we become a little bit lazy. We become a little bit mechanical. You see, the Supreme is not limited to rules and regulations. Just like this Sudden Kosai, he was worshiping. He was actually so dear to the Shalagram, but he had a very negative occupation. Of course, in our temples, we have a very pukkha standard. We maintain the service of the deities. But we have to understand that the deity is so pleased by our endeavors to not be caught up in externals, because what happens is we begin to lose focus on the platform of devotional service. And we begin to make offenses. And there is one Chopaya in the Ramayana where the Lord says that actually, in the Vishnu Purana, Lord Vishnu says that if my own arms offend my devotees, my own Sudarshan Chakra, I'll cut off my own arms. You see how dear the devotees are to the Lord. So that's why we have to be very conscientious in our dealings. Karma Bai is another example about externals. She was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And she was an old lady. And every day she would cook khichdi for the Supreme. But she never bathed before she started cooking, because she had to get, Jagannath is going to come at a certain time, so I have to cook. So she wouldn't take bath. And so she'd make this nice khichdi to Lord Jagannath. So one sannyasi came one day, and said, it was like one of the priests, the Jagannath Pujari, one of the main priests in the temple. And he said to her, "What is this? How can you cook? And you must clean. You must clean the house. You must clean everything before you cook for the Lord." So then she started doing that, but she's an old lady, and everything was very slow. And Jagannath would come. He's waiting, you know. Thakurji's always very regulated. Coming, where's my bog? And Jagannath kept waiting. So then they began to ring the bell on the altar in the Puri temple. And Jagannath had to run back because the offering was late. So in this way, when the Pujaris went to see Jagannath, they saw khichdi all over his mouth and khichdi all over his hands. And they're going, what pujari would not clean the hands of a Lord and the mouth of a Lord after making the offering? So in this way, then Jagannath spoke, "Do me a favor. Tell that priest to go to Karma Bai and tell her to return to her old routine, because I relish her khichdi." So in this way, we see how the Lord, he's not attached so much to the rules and regulations, but he wants the bhav. Subari, she's another one in the Ramayana. She was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And she very interesting. You see, there's a history. Her spiritual master is Matan Rishi. She's a very low-caste woman, Matan Rishi. And he was rejected by all the other rishis in the forest at that time because he had accepted a low-class woman into his ashram. So anyways, he's thinking, I don't care. She's a pure devotee of the Lord. I'm not attached to externals. So anyways, what happened was all the rishis are sitting there performing thousands of years of penances and austerities, and they waited for the darshan of Lord Ramachandra. They're waiting for Lord Ram. "Please, Ram, please come. Please give us your darshan." So one day Lord Ram did come, but he walked right past all of them. Walked right past them all. And he went right to the ashram where there's Subari. She was right there. And he went to her cottage. And then she was amazed. "Oh, my Lord Ram, thank you. I have to offer you something, because unexpected." So then she took some bera, some like a plum fruit like this. And she took the fruit, and "I want to offer to Lord Ram." We offer the best things to the Lord, because the scribe, you know, we should always offer fruits, foodstuffs which are in season, you know, most pleasing to the Lord. It has to be nice tasting. So she bit into the fruit. "Oh, this is very sweet. This plum is very good." And she then gave it to Lord Ram. Now, as far as the Archdeponte would say, this is definitely a standard which we cannot follow. But the principle being, Lord Ram, he took that fruit and he loved it. He absorbed his energies. He was so appreciative. Oh, taking the remnants of his devotee. This is the nature of a Lord, that the Lord loves to, he doesn't like this complete situation of complete opulence or complete being always worshipped on a high level. But he loves when his devotees, when there can be some interaction. Even when Bhima. Lord Krishna invited Bhima to come for prasadam in Dwarka. And everyone knows Bhima. He was a very voracious eater. He loved prasad. Big history there. So what happened was is that the Lord invited Bhima to come. Bhima made sure he was very hungry. So then the Lord played a bit of a trick on him. He took I think it was about 8 or 9 guards. He told, don't have him come in to my quarters because I'm eating. So then what happened was, is Bhima came there and the guard said, you have to sit, you have to wait, the Lord wants you to wait. So then he sits down, he's hungry. And then he hears these sounds behind the walls. And he could hear the Lord eating nice sabji, nice roti. Ooh, there was halava. Then when it came to the paupers, there was a problem. You know, like this. And the Lord made it very, Dwarkadish made it very, And then Bhima had, that was too much. Strength of 10,000 elephants, he threw the guards aside, went into Krishna. Krishna, how can you do this to me? And he said a few negative things. Krishna, he said a few things to him, How can you do this to me? I'm your friend. You see, Krishna is relishing the chastisement of his devotee because Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, they are all in reverence. Draupadi, all in reverence of the Lord. But the only person that would chastise Krishna is Bhima. So he got so angry. How could you do this to me? I'm hungry. And then Krishna goes, but don't worry. I think there's a little bit of sabji left, over here. And, there's one chapati. I left one chapati for you. But Krishna relished the chastisement. So in this way, we want to see in a very deep light the process of Krishna consciousness because we don't want to become wooden-headed. We don't want to become mechanical. We don't want to become absorbed in terms of external events. So how is it that we can become free? In the fourth canto, Prahlada Maharaj says, especially in dealings, because Hiranyakashipu had made offense to Narada, if there's an offense, if someone speaks offensively, then one should cut out the tongue. Of course, in our modern times, it's not very good for our preaching. But we can walk away or give a good slap to the person. Actually, it's amazing. Our problem is this. When we hear aparad, we stay and we like to listen. Oh, I knew that Brahmacharini was like, I knew that Brahmacharya. Balaram Brahmacharya, he was out of it. We like to hear criticism. So we want to replace criticism with a Krishna Katha. So when we study association devotees, it's very, very important. In the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 31, is a very wonderful verse about the Paramatma. My Paramatma, oh dear Paramatma, you are most effulgent, most beautiful. And what's most amazing is your devotees, they cross over the ocean of material existence. And it is glorifying the power of devotional service. Then I think it's a verse, 10th canto, chapter 14, chapter 2, text 31, where they cross over this ocean of material existence and they leave the boat behind. It's like it's described when you worship Shalagram Shila or Krishna Shila, that the size, the ocean of material existence turns the size of a cast hoofprint and one can easily walk over it. Also, in devotional service, the same nature. One can cross over effortlessly the ocean of material existence. So it is the devotees which will help us develop the vision of how to see things properly, how to not make offense. Now, Prahlada Maharaj said there was two things I gave up. There's two things, actually, two things that I had that help me pass all the miracles in this world. Because as you know, he was thrown off a cliff, and he was trying to spike him to death, put him in vats of boiling oil. How is it that Prahlad Maharaj was able to pass these miracles? Have you experienced some miracles lately? You fret over the years. I mean, speaking of small miracles, you know, as a speaker, you may say things to persons answer questions that people haven't even asked. Or you may be a very quiet person. You find yourself down Soho Street distributing books. That you see how Krishna, the Dhammi Buddha Yogam Tam, he gives intelligence how to do wonderful things. So Prahlad Maharaj said, what was given me a miracle is my association, first of all. First of all, he's always thinking of Narada Muni. Of course, sadhu means you give association. Narada was not taking the association of the demons, even though he was physically with them. But so devotees always giving association. And then Prahlad Maharaj describes, and I gave up this illusion of desire and hate. Back to the earlier formula, desire and hate. I gave up these. I gave up those that point, and I accepted proper association. And this is how the miracles came in my life. So in this way, ya idam paramam guya mad bhakta shabadashati bhakti omayam kriya mam viveshita samshaya. That the devotee becomes delivered by presenting the glories of the Lord. Krishna gives his guarantee. I guarantee you'll come back. And on a later occasion, Prabhupada gave his guarantee too. You chant 16 rounds, and you simply follow the four regular principles, and I guarantee you and you and you and you will go back to God in this life. That's Prabhupada's guarantee. So even when Prabhupada gave the benediction for those members who did the marathon in just for 2 or 3 months, doing the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, that they'll go back to God. And of course, there's only several individuals still practicing devotional service this day because the benediction is there. But we have to be very conscientious not to become familiar with the process of devotional service. And in this way, experience or a loss of taste in devotional service, a loss of momentum. And then we begin to think like the scientists, that I am this body, everything around me is mine, and I'm a controller, and Ishvara Mahambhogi, Sananambhavalavam Sukhi, this person's my enemy, kill him! We can see it's a big thing, you know, in the world today. So much emphasis on war. And it's my first time to the visiting. But I appreciate, you know, especially being in the UK, how there is a great tradition there, and there is a great culture there. And it's interesting because I notice there's such a high degree of piety here, and that it's amazing to see. If you see the great material culture in relationship to the spiritual culture, then you can see this semblance like of Vedic culture in a place like Great Britain. I mean, for example, the castles and the churches, and you can be reminded that when there was a spiritual renaissance, material renaissance in Europe, then at the same time there was Mahaprabhu's Leelas, there was a spiritual renaissance in Bhartavarsh, India. So when you see things in perspective, see the bigger picture. See each devotee around you as an insurance policy for spiritual advancement. Then you will not become bewildered in your devotional service. You'll actually develop a sense of enthusiasm to push on Krishna consciousness. You won't become mechanical. You won't become introverted in the sense of in your own lifestyle. Or I use the term seclusive. In other words, I'm in my own world and I can't associate. I don't want to. I don't trust certain arenas. And let me get a job or let me go back to school. Of course, there's nothing wrong with working and there's nothing wrong with educational pursuits. But if it's done in such a way as an excuse to make Krishna conscious a complementary affair, This is a danger. And this all comes as a result of the five offenses in terms of chanting Hare Krishna with five various material attachments. It's as a result of rag and dvesh, attachment to desire and hate. So take up this process. Because as Prabhupada said, you never know who's sitting next to you. Could be Narada Muni. So samahamasadurlaba. Look around. You never know. But actually the devotees sitting around you are great souls for adding Krishna in their life. So please take advantage of that wonderful association and serve the Lord. And you'll notice that the Lord is always smiling when you see the lordships. And the Lord will smile. If you're holding on to something material, you know, you're holding on to something mechanical, the Lord's smiling at you. Come on, just give it up. And if you're surrendering nicely, you're doing wonderful preaching, distributing books, and doing wonderful facility for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, the Lord will smile with you, and you'll smile with the Lord. Ananda Bhuti Varanam. It is an ocean of transcendental bliss. If we're pleasing Krishna, we will become blissful. We'll become happy. So ultimately, in this way, we will develop a sense of humility, not see the materialist in such a complete negative light, and we will see the devotees in a very spiritual light, that actually you and you and you are my insurance policy for spiritual advancement. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions?